I love visiting churches. Each church is different. And when I came in here, I thought, oh, lovely church. Do you feel your church is a lovely one? Actually, we are going to be talking about one of the churches that Jesus talked about in Revelations, seven churches. And the first one, we're going to talk about it. And so I want to ask you, if you think of your church, what comes to your mind? One word. If somebody says, oh, where do you go? Oh, I go to Schlechtschapel, you know, there's a church there. And then what do you say? What one word, how would you introduce your church to a non-Christian or a non-church friend? Yeah, anybody, any brave one this morning want to shout it out? Have you shouted this morning yet? This is your chance. Yell it out. Yeah? Family. Family. Yeah. Worship, okay? How about the kids? I know you're fast, you're quick, right? Right? Come on. Anything? You're shy. Yeah, I would like you to take a look around. What do you think would represent your church? I assume it would be on the wall somewhere, right? Usually. That's what we put on the wall. When I go to your house, I might look around and I'll see what you have, and it will represent you. Probably I will see a picture of your whole family someplace, maybe a picture of your parents, a wedding picture probably, okay? Things like that. And so what do you think of your church? It matters, right? Especially the one that's more vivid to you. That represents what the church means to you. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are some people who are still confused about their church. In fact, they don't even know where the church is going. Okay? And that's a sad thing. But we don't have to stay that way. And so this morning, Jesus, okay, is very concerned. You know, Jesus is relationship with the church. He is the head of the church, right? And he is, he created the church. He created many things. One of them is the church. He started it. In fact, he is the founder. And so when you look at Revelations chapter 2, okay, Revelations chapter 2, and do you have your Bible? You have, right? So let's open it, and you will see starting from chapter 2, maybe your Bible has a title. It says there, Church of Ephesus, right? So you know the first church is the Church of Ephesus. And this Ephesus, it's the same as the book of Ephesians. It's the same. It's the name of a place. And actually, this church existed during that time. And John, at that time when he received these words from Jesus, he was in the island of Patmos. And he was giving these messages to the seven churches. And when you look at here, it says to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Now, there are seven churches, as I said, and this is the first one. And each one, he would introduce it to the angel of what? The angel of what church? Now, the angel here would refer to a messenger, actually. So most likely, this is the pastor of the church. Okay? Most likely, these are the churches during those days, and then maybe the pastors, they came to visit John in the Patmos Island, and then he gave them this message. And, of course, it's the message from Jesus Christ. And it says here, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. And who is that person? Who holds those things? If you look at verse 20, it's referring to Jesus Christ. Okay, chapter 1. And it says here, over there, that he already mentioned the seven stars and the seven lampstands. Okay, it had a good beginning. And as many churches, you know, it starts and they have a, usually when you start a church, because I've been in church planting, it's a very exciting stage. Okay, many things, and you see many newborns many challenges. You're thinking about where's our first meeting going to be and things like that. Many things are first. Okay, there's some excitement in there. Well, Ephesians is one of those churches. It started well, but then come to this stage, they have come to a bump. You know, it's like slowed. It's like sliding, things like that, okay? Which happens to many churches. And I know I heard, like I was talking to Peter, that you just lost your pastor. So probably you might think, oh, we are slumping. Are we entering into that stage, okay? So probably this message might be relevant to you in that sense, okay? Yes, churches go through that kind of, you know, history. But it doesn't mean that it's the end. In fact, once you go down, the next thing will be what? You go up. You go up. Okay? And that is what we are going to look at. Okay? So here, look at the angel here is the star. Okay? It says there are seven stars, and one of the stars is the angel. The Ephesians church, in the Ephesians church. And then the golden lampstand. You will see that the stars here, they're describing the pastors, and the golden lampstands, the members of the church. One thing in common between the two is that they both give lights. The stars and the lampstand, they give lights. Okay? So, in other words, for a church to really shine, you cannot just say, Pastor, you gotta do this, okay? You also have to give lights, all of us, the star and the lampstand, okay? And yes, the pastor is the star because he is. He is the one who's leading, okay? He's the one who's leading. But the others, how would you want to be led? To be like him, you have to shine. So then how are they shining? How is your church shining? Ephesus is a place, it's a busy. During those days, it's the best geography, okay? In fact, it is so good that they attract a lot of business. And so they are booming, you know, busy. People can be materialistic. And you know, in this place, it's the great temple of Diana. You know, Diana? Her other name is the Artemis. I think she's considered the goddess of fertility. Okay, and it's big, huge. Actually, in Acts chapter 16, when many people came to know the Lord, these Christians, they have to burn their witchcraft books. Okay? And it amounted to thousands. Okay, so all of this, idolatry, witchcraft in that place, it's challenging to be living in Ephesus in those days. But it sounds like California, right? Yeah, I can just say, this is the same. This is California. You say, oh, yeah, that's the same. California. Everybody wants a lot of California because of silicon. Well, there are many good things in California. And yes, we have a lot of riots. We have a lot of things going on, crazy things going on, okay? And this is it, you know? So don't say that... That's Ephesus. It's their church. No, this is like describing us now, okay? And they're struggling with what? Same thing. It's difficult to be a Christian in that kind of a situation. There are what? Issues. There are issues that come up. What issues do we have nowadays that the church face? Materialism? Yeah. Idolatry? Yeah. What else? What issues do you have? Busyness? Just plain busyness? What did you say, Peter?
Social
and political. Yeah. Okay. See, when you have a place like Ephesians, Ephesus, you attract many different people too. People speak different languages also during those days. Different culture. It becomes like a melting pot like the U.S. Okay. And you have to deal with that too. And then prejudice, bias, racism, nothing is new. You can always go back to the Bible and you can find it there. Abortion? Oh, yes, it's in the Bible. Prostitution? Oh, yes, it's in there too. Everything is in there. Homosexuality? It's in there too. Okay? Pastor Sam, I think he'll be willing to sit down with you and, you know, tell you where they are. Or you have library, you can go and look. So these things are not new. Okay? But I tell you what else is not new. The victory in Christ. It's not new. It has happened, it can happen, and it will happen again. Okay? And that's why we have the Bible, and that's why we are here on Sundays. I want to ask you, why are you here? Did you come here to fail? Did you come here to join? Oh, I'm going to join the losers. The losers are going to meet every Sunday, and I'm going to be with them. I want to be one of them. How cool is that? How can you invite your friend to come to a church that's, oh, the people there, they're all negative. Who want to go there? Well, we were singing that lovely song, Inside Out. Huh? What's that? It's a song that talks about how you want to love the Lord from the inside. Lord, you want to change? Yes, this is a place. Oh, guys, you want to change? You want the life to change? Come to my church. This is where you can change. That is the message. That is the message of the church. So, you are the star. You are the lampstand. Now, let's see what happened to the church. As problems happen, okay? But don't let problems be your center of attraction. Okay? I'm just telling you, because it's nothing new. We can overcome this. Let's see. It says here in verse, where are we? Where are we? Where are we? Verse 2. Yeah, follow me, okay? Go to your Bible. Verse 2. It says, I know your deed, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you have found them false. And that you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Oh, you would say, oh, this must be an A-plus church. I would give them an A-plus based on these two verses, verse 2 and 3. However, let's look at what the boss says. Huh? That's what Jesus said. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Whoa. From A-plus, now it becomes, I don't know, B, maybe, okay? So you have lost your first love. So when you look at verse 2 and 3, how would you characterize this church? What words come to your mind? Huh? Pardon? They have a lot of work doing, right? They are very hardworking, and they are very faithful, okay? And they're not just doing things, you know, partying. No, what are they doing? He says that you're persevering in your good deeds, and in fact, you have dealt with those false prophets or false apostles, okay? And you have endured hardships for my name. You see, they're being persecuted, as I said. They face the same stuff. Huh? Criticize, you know, you Christians. They have to endure because of the name of Jesus. And then they have not grown weary. They are not giving up. They are still coming to church. But is it possible you are persevering? You are really serving the Lord. And yet, Jesus said, you have lost your first love. So what is he talking about? How can a person who's always teaching Sunday school, okay, who's so active in our youth, but he has lost his first love? What is that like? Well, when you look at first love, Jesus didn't say you have lost your first ministry. No. He didn't say you have lost your first guest, your first convert, your first church vehicle. No. He said you have lost your first love. So what does that mean? He's talking about what? Love is talking about something that is not material. It's love. Most probably, it's talking about what? What? Love? People? Relationship? Devotion? Passion? Okay? Not just the outward business activity, the routine, the obligations, the duties, but the heart, the love, the passion. Have you ever heard of this? I have to go to church. I have to go to church. What do you hear? Well, what if I say, I want to go to church? Do you hear a difference? One has a heart. Right? Yeah. Oh, I'm supposed to have devotion. I'm supposed to have devotion. Or you see, you hear, I'm excited. What the Lord is going to tell me today? Do you hear the difference? Ah, maybe that's the difference between verses 2, 3, and 4. And what Jesus is talking about here, first love in verse 4. Okay, so I don't know what it is for you. Why do you go to the church? Oh, my parents go there. Okay. Versus, why are you going to the church? That's my church. I love the Lord. I want to be there. Do you see my point? Yeah. Being a Christian is so hard. Tired. I could hear them saying that. Okay? Versus saying, I know, being a Christian has its unique challenge, but it has also its blessings. Very positive. Okay? You don't just see the difficulties. Nothing can remove the face of Christ, even problems, from you. You see him. He is your passion. I'm not drawn to the church because of these problems and controversies. I'm drawn to the church because of Jesus Christ. Okay. So, where is your first love? I think this is a good thing for us, you know. And in the church, okay, we can be beset with problems, and I want to show you what specific problems they have. Especially, there are some commentators that said that at the time, their pastor must be Timothy. Do you know Timothy? Yeah. And we have 1 and 2 Timothy, right? Let us look at the book of Timothy. Probably we can get something about what's going on, the problem there, okay? Let's go to the letter to Timothy written by Paul. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. And I know I don't have a lot of time, so, but I want you to look at your own Bible, okay? So instead of having a PowerPoint, I have it, and I want you to look at your own Bible. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2:14. 2:14. And why don't we read it together? 14, 15, and 16. Okay? Are you ready? Chapter 2, 14, 15, and 16. Okay, no matter what is your version, just read it loud. Okay, let's go. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of God. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Oh, okay. Actually, it talks about, the verse 17 talks about the teachings. See, it seems as if they have been so into correcting the false apostles, the false teachings, that it has breed a lot of animosity in the church. In fact, they're quarreling already, to the point that their arguments and their discussion has what? Broken down into what? Just godless chatter. Huh? And they're quarreling about words. You know, words. You must have that kind of experience before too. Just words. Well, you said this. No, you meant this. Well, if you meant this, you would use this. Okay, and just go around and around, right? Okay, but you said this. Yeah, I heard you. Oh, yeah, okay, but I didn't mean, oh, yeah. And then they just go back and forth, back and forth. And soon enough, it's like, hey, aren't we brothers in the Lord? And why are we here? No, we just kind of forgot all about that. We forgot our first love. So let's go again to verse 23 and 24. Just the same chapter. Just go down, 22 to 23. Let's go to 22, 23, 24. Okay, let's read it together. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. You see, he's not saying that you shouldn't teach. He's not saying that you should just set aside truth and teaching. No. But he's saying what? Don't go into stupid arguments. You see, it's the way you deal with it. Why do you have to argue? Okay? It says, be kind. You can talk, and you can talk about your conflicts or differences of opinion, but you can be kind, okay? It says here, able, kind and able to teach and not resentful. Sometimes when you go into arguments, you're not no longer trying to prove the right and wrong, but it's just venting your anger because you want to be right. Okay, so it's like the goal has shifted. Okay, and we have to be careful about those things. And it can happen. And maybe you have also seen it, you know, in these issues that are going on around. And maybe you are in high school, so yeah, you might have this kind of experiences too. So when you go back to Revelations, there's one special issue that was brought up in chapter 2, actually. Okay, what is that issue? You look at chapter, going back to Revelations, and we are in chapter 2. It says here in verse 6, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. You hear that? The Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans is a heretic teaching, a group that teaches a heresy at that time. And actually, they also claim to be Christians, but then they also taught that you can engage in immoral behavior. And you will not meet the judgment of God. Can you now think of something like that going on around us? Immoral things, and then to say, no, God still loves you. We accept you. That's what it is, okay? It says, engage in immoral behavior with impunity. This is what they teach. And they are against this group. Okay, so, yeah, as I said very clearly, we have to know what's the truth, but we don't have to do it in such a way that we have to quarrel and argue to the point that we forget our first love. Okay, so then we want to go back. I want to pull people, how can I pull people to the church? Oh, in the church, all we do is argue. Okay, is that the church? Is that the church? When I look, remember I was looking for symbols that might represent what you are? I saw here. You know what that is? I bet most of you can read Chinese, right? 我也会，我是讲国语的。 家, okay? Family, very beautiful. And I like the word Chinese, 家, you know? It's like you have a roof. You have a roof. Probably, yeah, you can go back and study the history of that writing there, okay? But I want to share with you the story about Harley Davidson. There are some boys here. You must have heard of Harley Davidson. Have you? What's the sound of Harley Davidson? Right? I'm not wearing one of those jackets. But they will have those cool jackets with lots of what? Metals. And they will be roaring down the street. But you know, there was a time when they lost 50 million. Yeah, they were going out of business. That's Harley Davidson. And, okay, I won't go to the history of why they lost a business. But then somewhere along the way, they were losing the business to the tune of 50 million. And so they had to do something. And so this guy, he called the people to some people who are like seniors. They got together. They talk about what they should do. And though what they have come up is this. Let's go back to our root. Why are we here? Why do we have Harley Davidson? And that's what I was asking you a while ago. That's why I like this story. They went through the same process. Go to the first thing, okay? What in the first place, okay? Why are you here? Why do you love the Lord? What is your first love? What created that relationship? That's the root. You have to go back to that, okay? So Harley Davidson asked themselves. They go back to their roots, okay? What caused Christianity to explode? Did you know that Christianity had to fight with so many of these competing philosophies, culture, people during those days in religion? Okay, it was not a great coffee shop or awesome graphic arts and buildings. No, those things are nice. Okay, but what causes the church at that time to rumble like Harley Davidson is the fact that Jesus Christ was real. And he offered people real relationship, real love, okay? Real changes in their lives, real eternal life, okay? Something that is real. Sounds powerful, isn't it? And so we have to go back to our first roots. The first. You know what's the meaning of the word first? It can refer to fresh. Actually, it's very interesting. The name Ephesus also means first. Interesting, okay? And that Jesus used that as like a play on word, okay? Hey, first, church first. I want you to go back to your first love, okay? And so that's what Jesus did. And so what is it that really makes you first and what makes you come first in the first place? So he explained to us how we need to embrace the loud roar that comes from being in a Christian church in America. Okay? Jesus successfully loved people, and he also successfully teach them the truth. Okay? We cannot just love people and leave out the truth. Okay? But we cannot only have the truth, but we don't love people. We must have both. Must have both. Okay, and you know, when people first get to Harley, I've been talking about Harley. Do you all know what's Harley Davidson? Who doesn't know? Okay, it's good I ask. Is this motorcycle? Okay, and sometimes on Sundays they like to come out in group. Have you seen them? And they'll be driving, and they are all driving this Harley Davidson motorcycle. It's huge and they are expensive. They are not cheap. But this is, here's some more about this brand of motorcycle. I'd love to have one too, but I don't think I have the courage to drive it. Okay, when they buy a Harley Davidson, they're not just buying a product like a Honda car. When they buy a Harley Davidson, they're actually joining a family. Okay, so when I'm riding a Harley Davidson and I see another Harley Davidson coming, I'm gonna sign to him. It's like, hey, we're the same. It's like non-verbally, we are part of a group. Hey, we are the Harley Davidson. You know that kind of a feeling? That feels good. That feels good. You are a family. Okay, so when you join a Harley, you become a part of a family. That's become so envious for other people. I want that too, okay? So each new Harley rider is also different with a ton of ways to personalize their own bike. No two Harley Davidson is the same. When you buy it, you can customize it and they can do it for you. Everything is acceptable. Okay? But of course, everybody wears the same name, Harley Davidson. So you can have different churches, but everybody is the same. Christ. Christ. Okay? Allow them to be different. Okay? Customize it. That's okay. But we are all Christ. Okay? We're all one family. That's what makes us the same. So most of them are custom built, no two are alike, and each Harley has its own journey. Each Christian has its own journey, okay? And each Harley that's on the road sends out an invitation. Come and join us. Come and join our journey. Come and join our journey. They symbolize the freedom of the open road. Do you feel that way when you see a Harley coming down? What do you feel? Huh? You feel like, I get there enjoying it, okay? So when we come to church, can people say, they're going to church, and you know what? I am going to open my restaurant. I don't know who is going to come. But these people, they don't have to go to work on Sunday. They go to their church. How so envious. I can do that. I hope I can do that. No, I hope they'll say that, okay? I want to be part of this. How do you do it? How is it you can close your doors on Sundays and you don't get into debt? We want them to ask those questions. But probably you have heard about Chick-fil-A. Have you heard of Chick-fil-A? Have you been there?
Yes.
If you have not been there, it's a sin. Oh, no. Yes, Chick-fil-A. What a wonderful testimony. And do you know, even though Chick-fil-A, you don't see it in every corner, they're number one. They are doing better than McDonald's. Do you know that? Even though they don't open on Sunday, they're doing better. How did it happen? Those are stories you can pass and make your church attractive. And this is why I'm a Christian. I am a winner. I am a winner. In a world where there's so many problems and you cannot come to the solution after so many arguments, I already know the answer. Jesus is the victory. He gives us the freedom. Okay? And even though we have to also struggle, we have our own struggles too, but it is a struggle with a purpose, a struggle with a hope, a struggle with a promise. You have it all. But if you keep it all inside, and you only think about the problems, and you only think about the negative, you cannot attract. Okay? You won't leave this out. The family of God, a different kind of family. And so they symbolize freedom. So what do you symbolize? The church is now to the outside a symbol of an antagonistic place. Christians, we don't want them. They are divisive. They are backwards. Okay? They are xenophobic. They are whatever phobic. It's like we're known more for our fears, okay, than for our love. Known for our fears of this and this than for our answers. We have the truth. We have the answers that can free us. Okay? So, this is what Jesus said to them, go back. And then when he said go back, he gave them three very, very practical solutions. Where are we now? Verse what? Okay, go back. Verse 5. Okay, I jumped from 4 to 7. So now we left out verse 5. That is where you have the solution. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Remember. Okay. Number two, repent. Number three, do the right thing. Do the things you did at first. Whoa. Okay? So before you can go on, you have to go back to the first. Because he wants you to do the things that you did at first. What are the things you did at first? When you first come to know the Lord, what did you do? So then, those are the three practical things that Jesus, the head of the church, the founder of the church, he said that we must do. Remember, when you remember, you refocus. You have to retreat, and I'm glad you have your retreat coming. Okay? you retreat and you refocus. Probably I've been so drawn into these things. Oh, refocus, refocus. First love. Okay? You got to remember. That's what you do. Okay. Reset. What is your priority? Is Jesus still clear? When you come here, do you have Jesus in your mind? When you pray, do you have Jesus? Glory of Jesus. The fact that you want to meet him, is that priority in your heart? Okay? So that's one. Number one, you remember. And to Timothy, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:5, I have reminded you of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. See? He is even telling Timothy, reminding him of what he has received from his grandmother and his mother. Okay? Where he started. And that's in 2 Timothy 1:5. Okay? And then in verse 6, very good. It says here, you can look at that verse, 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift God has given you. Fan into flame. You know, that love that is dimming, fan it, come on. Okay, fan it into flame. It's there, it's there. So my friend, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the light. Fan it into flame. You don't need another light. You don't need to add some more thing. It's in there already. Just fan it. Okay? So go back, and the fan into flame, especially the gift of God, and which includes the Holy Spirit and his gifts, many gifts for you, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Okay? And so he says that, you remember, and then you repent, and then you do the right thing. Because of my time, I cannot go into details about repent and right thing, but I want to share with you a story, because I want to, talking about this fanning into flame, okay, fanning into flame. Some of you, and I know that because I work with youth, okay, and I work with Asian, you know, Chinese youth, okay. When we want to serve the Lord, I see that you have that heart, but usually it's dim, and usually it's because we're so shy. We are kind of very restricted, okay. We cannot let it out, you know, do you really need to have a very outgoing personality, you know, to become an exciting Christian? So that our church from being cold will become passionate, okay? So that you can then characterize your church, your first love, that enthusiasm, that passion, that excitement. You know, do I have to have a very outgoing personality in order to be like that? Do you think so? I cannot be one of those people who shine because, you know, they have the gift of leadership. I don't. I cannot shine. Okay. So I want to talk to people who think that way. Okay. By sharing with you the story of a very ordinary woman. Her name is Gladys Aylward. Gladys Aylward was a domestic worker in her teens. And she was an English lady. She lived in England. And then during those days, she was working as like a housemaid, a domestic worker. But she had a heart for the Lord. She wanted to be a missionary. So she applied. And when she applied, she was asked to do a three-month preparatory course. And then after the three-month preparatory course, she wasn't given any assignment, so she wasn't going anywhere. In other words, she wasn't accepted to the mission. Okay. However, some things happened so that she was connected, and she tried to earn, save some money. And through that money, her life saving, she bought a ticket, and she took the train, and she go from England, and she went to Russia across using the Trans-Siberian train. That's a long, long train ride. And then from there, she took a ship to Japan. And from Japan, she took another ship, and then she landed to where she wanted to be, China. For a housemaid, okay? And she wasn't really gifted in anything, but she just had a heart. She didn't have much training at all, but she had a heart. And so she went. The perilous voyage took her to Yangcheng, and she worked as an innkeeper, an assistant, helping out us, which is very much like what she was doing in England, only this time it's in China. So she was an innkeeper. And then when they had a chance, they would share the gospel to the travelers. So she was this little blonde English woman among the Chinese. Of course, they didn't accept her message, okay? But she had a heart. She had that first love, okay? And one day, the Lord opened another door. During those days, the government was trying to stop foot binding, you know? Foot binding, Chinese foot binding, okay? And then they needed a lady to inspect the feet. So they asked her to do it. Okay. So she went and she became a foot inspector. Do you have grandparents with small feet? None, huh? Oh, my. Pastor Sam, have you seen the smallest feet that's bound? How long? How many inches? Yes. That. My grandmother, of course, she passed away already. Yeah, her foot was like that. Okay. Of course, they couldn't walk. Well, anyway, so she was a foot inspector. The government wanted to stop that practice. And then later on, because of that, she earned the respect of the people. And finally, she was granted the citizenship. And then her message had, you know, more and more people listening. Okay, so that's it. Our first love. Okay? You don't need to be highly educated. You don't have to say, oh, I have a master in what? No, the Lord will open it up for you. But you have to go back to your first love. Okay? And then later on, the World War II came. She was given this task to save these orphans. So she led 100 orphans across the mountain. They went to the mountains. Okay, just one little woman with 100 orphans. Okay, and they crossed the mountain until they came to a safe place. Her life was made into a movie. And I think the movie was called The Inn of the Sixth Happiness. Okay, that is the name of the inn, Sixth Happiness. So if you want to borrow that film, you can watch it. The problem is many things in there are changed. Okay, so for example, the actress was tall, which was not true because she was really small, and things like that. Okay, they put a love story in there. But she never got married. She never had a boyfriend. So some things, many things, I think. But overall, okay, it's really impressive to see how she handled the orphans. Okay, so I guess let's go back to those three. Number one, remember. Okay, and remember, go back. You reflect to refocus. Okay. I have this cross. I don't know, what do you wear? Do you wear a cross or what? To me, this is a good remembrance. It reminds me of things. Maybe you need something like that too. Okay? Amazing Grace is a good song. Whenever you sing it, you remember how I was saved, how I was a sinner. Okay? Sometimes after you are in the church for so long, we have this Christian entitlement sometimes. God should bless me. God should answer me. Why didn't he answer me? Okay? We become very demanding. We forgot we were saved. It's an amazing grace. Okay? We have received already many things that we did not deserve. Okay? So you need, and I also, we need reminders. We need to refocus. Okay? I don't know what it is for you. Okay? Maybe a Bible. Maybe when you got baptized, somebody gave you a verse. OK? Okay? Maybe you want to write that verse and make it big or whatever, so you are reminded of that first love. Why are you here? Okay? Why do you commit yourself to the Lord? Why do you come here every Sunday and you're not in Tahoe? Why? Okay? You got to ask yourself that question. The root. It's very important. Okay? And then you repent. If you find anything that is amiss, reset your priority, and then you do the right thing. Okay? And so I would just let the Lord bless us with those words. And I have this that Pastor Sam has helped me to, I think I have time to just distribute it. Okay? And then... I think not all of you are going to stay behind, but I encourage you if you can. And there are, I put a lot of questions here. You just go through it, and you answer the one that you want to answer, or that all of you can choose a few together. Okay? So you don't have to answer everything. And I will just leave it at that. Okay? Thank you.